Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
Roundabout Season 2, presented by Nissan, is live now, and we're back to share more stories from the road and the memories made along the way. We're talking rest stops.
If we're stopping to get gas, you will be timed.
Misguided plans.
I grew up in the city, so I have, like, you know, a healthy fear of real extreme darkness.
A lot of laughs.
Y'all weird, but you were different.
And so much more. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Vice UK podcast for February 2017, already in February 2017. But February 2017 means that we can start talking about some goddamn sexy games. We, because it's not like me, Mike Diver, senior editor of Waypoint, is here all by my bloody self. That would be very odd indeed. I'm joined again by Kate Gray.
Hello.
Semi-regular.
Semi-regular.
On Waypoint Productions, the stream recently we did together.
I mean, you could say I'm regular now.
You're regular.
Yeah. Frequent, no. Regular, yes.
Frequent. Kate Frequent Gray is here with us. I'm gonna read out what I've written down here. Waypoint regular. I wrote regular. Freelance extraordinaire.
Yep.
Player and maker of games.
That's me.
Terrific hair.
Oh,
that's what this is what it says.
Yay.
In my notes.
Some it's of which, terrible today, but the podcast people can't see
some
that.
Of which might have been doctored by someone else. but I'm also joined by Pete Donaldson as well.
Not regular at all.
Not regular.
Very
first timer. First timer with Waypoint. Thank you very much for coming on. People might know you from such things as Amazing Radio.
Mm.
Which is a radio station, we should say, for anyone outside of the UK.
I think it is actually Absolute. I don't think I've ever been on Amazing.
Oh, it's
Amazing,
Absolute.
Amazing
Sorry.
Is like the new music station.
I've written Amazing down.
We play Nickelback.
Amazing is the smaller one.
Yeah,
your
I guess
one
so,
is the much bigger one. Yeah. It's quite popular. And also the Football Ramble, which is a podcast I listen to, which is the clues in the name, really, maybe, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You discuss
bit.
Football.
Yeah.
But also, you're very into your video games.
I am, yes. I've been into my video games pretty much all my life, starting with my dad making me a little homemade joystick for my Amstrad CPC 6128.
Homemade from what?
Well, just micro switches and bits of tat. He was an electric engineer.
Not like the bone of a pet, as the stick itself, like a cat forearm.
My mum's wedding ring. He made that back in the day, and he also made my first monitor out of an old fruit machine. So
that's amazing.
That's the start of my gaming journey.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen you do presenting for game events as well. Were you there for that? Was it the Final Fantasy launch or something like that?
I did. I was so jet lagged. So they got for IGN, and it was they got. They got all of like the creators of the game, Hajime Tabata.
Tabata-san. Yeah.
He came over, and I'd just come back from Japan, which is my yearly holiday that I seem to go to, and I was just so jet lagged and very sleepy, so I seem to repeat the word. I've got this thing that I say when I'm very tired. And it was, goodness me. And I think I said that about 50 times in an hour. So it was very embarrassing.
It's
luckily,
impressive.
YouTube doesn't notice that kind of thing. They noticed every single
they
time.
They do indeed. Yeah. Well, I shall know now.
Yes, if I say goodness me, podcast, you'll know that it's my
that means it's time to wrap up and go to the pub. Yeah, but I've also written here, video game voiceover actor sometime. And also terrific hair.
So, thank you. Know. I'm glad the hair was at the end.
The hair's always at the end. Because you've done some voiceover work as well for games.
I've done some indie, let's say, at the... It's the thin end of the indie wedge that includes kind of fan games as well. So I just want to get into it. Really, I'm very interested in that kind of thing. I auditioned, I think, for the Fable game that never happened. Didn't get that job, but they didn't get that job either.
No, nobody at Lionhead really got lucky with that one, did they?
No. So that'll teach them.
Sad situation. but yeah, being February and Valentine's and the fact that, well, there's a few reasons for this, this lovey-dovey, slightly maybe mucky direction. one, Valentine's. You know, it's a hook to hang a podcast on, right?
True.
Two, Kate. You've just started a column on Waypoint.
I thought you were just going to be like, you're mucky.
We'll get
you're
to
a filth bag.
D- don't jump the gun. Foreplay first. But you've got a column, Kiss and Tell.
I also do.
We've received, you know, some news in the last few days of more fun porn parodies of video games.
Yay.
But just before we get really stuck into that, just because I like to start podcasts with asking what people are playing, what are you playing right now? Like, Pete, what are you playing right now?
I'm still playing a lot of Hitman, to be honest.
Brilliant.
I love Hitman. It just got
again-ish.
Yeah, just got like a steelbook release, didn't it? But yeah, I mean, there's precious little sex in that. There's a lot of hiding behind bins, which is not how sex should ever start, I think. But
Explosive golf balls in the bedroom are a very, very bad idea.
That's exciting, a man speaking though. From experience.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit of Deus Ex. Bit of Who's Your Daddy? Any of that indie game?
It's
dad versus child. And the child's job is to kill itself and the dad's job is to keep the baby alive.
Shit, no, I have seen it. With a little weird wiggling baby.
Yeah, they all look like kind of 3D studio clip art. It's just wonderful.
I do remember that.
It's my favorite.
You can crawl into the oven and stuff, can't
you?
Yeah. Stick a fork in
you
the mains.
You can eat, yeah. I mean, the main...
Drink bleach.
If you need a tip for it, knock the television over onto the... onto the table, which smashes and then eat the glass. So if you want to kill yourself as the baby. The dad... Just on a hiding and nothing really. He's not having a very nice time. So it's a frantic two-player online game that every time I come back to it, it seems to have changed in some way. So he's working hard on this. The guy, the one man,
right?
Game
I think
studio.
We covered that when Waypoint was just Vice Gaming, actually. Mm. So but it's still work in progress.
Though. Yeah, I love it. It's still in beta, but it just seems to get better every single time. Yeah. I love it.
It's funny you should talk about daddies. We had a piece about daddies on Waypoint just the other week, which led to me asking, what does daddies in this context mean? And some of the internet helped me.
Like leather daddies kind of thing.
Well, apparently, says someone who works in the PC gaming world, like a daddy is someone, you know, like basically someone you'd like to have sex with.
Yeah.
Does that
encapsulate all of daddydom?
I don't know.
I mean,
can you steer me anywhere on this? Steer us anywhere on this, Kate?
It's an interesting internet thing.
Yeah.
There are a lot of offshoots
apparently
of it.
Apparently Bowser is a daddy.
If you're into that, I personally...
Are you into giant lizards? I mean, not really.
Well, he's got... The thing is with daddies, right? In a sexual sense, is that... I mean, I think the reason they are daddies in that way is that there's something not quite right about you fancying them. You know, like when you like Bowser, it's like, oh, you shouldn't do
right.
that. Mm. You shouldn't... okay.
So it's like a forbidden crush
for
taboo reasons.
Incest pornography online seems to be a lot of it about at the moment. I don't know what has happened in 2017.
It's
already.
It's not right. Oh my God.
Those top tags are like stepbrother, stepsister, stepmom. I mean,
I just don't understand it.
I'm like, swipe. No, I can't deal with it.
I mean, I was more talking in the sense of like it's an older man, you know. Mm.
Right.
And not quite forbidden, but in
not
the
like
way
a,
like
a father figure, maybe.
Fancying your professor kind of level where you're like, oh, he's an older man. There's some allure to that. Like, if he was your age, you wouldn't be interested. Bowser Jr., no thank you.
Oh, yeah, well, he's
I don't
like,
know
what,
if he's
like
actually
four?
My age, but, you know, I don't know if there were a more age-appropriate Mario dinosaurs, but, like, yeah, Bowser is, he's a bit older than you are.
The
you
Koopa
know?
Kids were kind of like the brat pack for
but
video
you're not,
games
in you're
the
not
80s,
interested in teenagers in 20-somethings. You're interested in the daddies. But not literally the daddies, but sometimes literally the daddies. Whoa.
You can understand my confusion.
He's the one that pays the bills. Bowser.
Well,
he pays the bills in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, he'll take care of you.
As a dad in the biological sense who pays the bills, I can relate to that kind of thing. Kate, what have you been playing?
So mostly I've been playing games that aren't out yet, and I don't know how many I'm allowed to talk about.
Oh, yes, this is a factor. Careful.
Is it? I know which ones I've signed NDAs for. So I've been playing a bit of Loot
Your
Rascals.
Daddy's Allowed? Is that what NDA stands for?
Yes. Well, that's different. That's nighttime NDAs. I've been playing Loot Rascals recently, which is out soon. March, April, May, June?
Sometime. Quarter
sounds
one
like
or quarter
already.
I'll tell you what. It's released in a month. Not in a month, in a month. Oh, that didn't work. It's released at some point. Right.
So it's got a release window of...
Unhelpful.
A... unspecified month.
And month,
this is
yes.
like The Last Guardian.
Exactly. It's not quite as bad. It's very polished already. It's a wonderful game. It's got some exceptional voiceover acting. One of the characters is Scottish. Another one is basically a big vagina. I didn't say that in front of
this
the
is weird like qualities to have. Like one is Scottish, one is a giant fanny.
Well, yeah. I mean, those are the two types of people.
In America, that means butt, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, we mean the forward-facing fanny.
Yeah, front bum.
Yeah, front bum.
God,
it's hard with international listeners, isn't it? You gotta be careful what you say.
I realise I haven't actually said what the game is. Like, yeah, it's Loot
Scottish Rascals.
Vagina, Loot Rascals. There you go. That's the pitch.
Yeah,
it's a hexagonal roguelite. I don't actually.
I'm
know
now
the
thinking about Blockbusters, but with little tiny characters on the board just stabbing each other.
Mm. No. It's not like that. It's a sort of like a slightly bizarre sort of sci-fi-ish kind of world.
Right.
And it's card-based combat-ishness. God, I am terrible at this. I'm a journalist.
You should be a games critic, Kate.
It's been a long day.
You won an award for that.
not that kind
no,
of award.
No, not that one.
I won an award for coming out of nowhere and doing all right, not for being good at writing. Mm. Not
we,
that I'm
we
not.
We celebrate our own for a while until they get too good, then we just drop them, don't we? That's what we do.
Yeah. But it's a really good game. It's got a great art style. You should look it up because I've done a terrible job of explaining what it is. Loot Rascals. It's great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I would check it out. I would check it out, but I'm too busy playing Yakuza 0. That's my big tip.
Doesn't have
for
giant
right
fannies,
now.
Does it?
Yakuza 0 does have erotic videos in it, though.
Oh, I haven't played it.
You
I don't
can
know
walk
if it's
around
got giant
town.
Fannies.
You can find these little cards of women, go into the local video shop. Bear in mind, it's set in 1988. Yeah. And watch a video of that girl, erotic in inverted commas, because it's basically Kaz, the character, just watching a girl in a bath, in a bikini, with bubbles, having a lovely bath.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. But you get a little trophy for it, though.
Great.
That just comes up and says, I did it for the trophy. Which is good.
I mean, that's kind of representative of how Japanese culture represents women anyway. You know what I mean? The subjugation of women seems to be very... it's out there, isn't
dodgy,
it?
Dodgy. Well, what would be dodgy stuff in Yakuza 0? I think it's played with its tongue quite firmly in cheek, this one. I think they've learned from some prior entries.
It's sold out in India, apparently.
It's sold out in India?
They can't get one for love nor money, a copy of Yakuza 0, apparently.
Wow. There you go.
I played the last one when it came out on PS Plus, and then I picked up this one, and I've only played a couple of hours of it, but... I really like modern Japan, so it's kind of not as exciting. I'm waiting for Yakuza 6 to get translated.
Yeah, the throwbacks, I find it quite interesting because, like, I mean, I guess the era, 88, it's sort of like, that's like in my misty child memory, that's when I sort of first remember stuff, like properly.
Yeah,
like the kind of like the boom years and like, you know, and just understanding that Japan was this weird and wonderful place, like far away that I've never go to. I mean, you say you go there often, so... You know, for you, those streets must look pretty old.
You know, I just want to kick in a 7-Eleven, which is where all the American
just grab
people get their
bike
money,
because hit someone with it.
Because none of the cash machines work anywhere other than a very specific kind of off license. I've found
right.
So it's like the American embassy. I found you just sort of turn up and go, this is the only place where I can get money out, and I want to kick it in.
It's a good tip for anyone going. I'll probably never go to Japan. Kate, kiss and tell. Your waypoint
mid
column.
Mid tea, hello.
It wasn't mint. Oh, mid tea. I haven't made you mint tea.
No, you haven't.
It's proper English breakfast tea.
English breakfast tea.
In the evening. That's how we roll.
Yep.
Tell me a bit about your new column on Waypoint that people can read about. Because first game you covered is Lady Killer in a Bind.
Which has a longer title, but I've forgotten it because it's very long.
Yes, it has a very long title, doesn't it? Which is all about the kind of... sex as part of the story, proper story, not just like a cutscene, isn't it?
Yes. So that was what my first column was about. I've got another one coming out in the soon.
When you send it to me.
When
I
send it to
change all
you.
The spelling mistakes.
I don't make spelling mistakes.
Outrageous. Well,
no, it's we publish in American English though, so I do have to take all of Kate's use out. Yeah.
That was so difficult, guys.
Yeah.
It's just international.
I do the opposite for Kotaku at weekends. I put U's into everything and take the Z's out and I'm like, no. My column though is it's all about words with U's in. Which is just terrible. The first one was about Lady Killer in a Bind. And Lady Killer in a Bind is a game in which you play, this is where the full title will come in handy, you play a cross-dressing lesbian who is pretending to be her brother on a cruise full of rich people, rich teenagers specifically.
Right.
And it's like the end of school, so they're all like 17, 18. I don't know, it's quite vague. And you sort of go around pretending to be your brother, and there's all these different layers going on. So you have to pretend to be your brother, and if anyone suspects you, you lose the game. You have to win a bunch of votes so you can win $5 million for some reason. Also, I think they're Canadian dollars, so...
I don't know what that means in real money.
No, me neither. I
mean, no, it's like Australian dollars. Probably a lot.
But like if someone was like, you could win $5 million Canadian dollars, you'd be like, oh.
It's probably enough for a cream egg or something, isn't it?
Do they have cream eggs in Canada? I don't know. I don't know. They don't have real money. They don't have
eggs. If any Canadians
eggs.
Are listening, tell us about cream eggs.
Please
last
do.
Last time we did something together, which was the stream, we talked about Kinder eggs, and Americans were telling us that they're banned.
Yeah, they're not allowed.
In parts of America.
Or maybe just at Walmart, but they're not allowed Kinder eggs.
Yeah. Well, they might eat them. Cream eggs eat a gun, are you? It's too big.
Cream eggs don't generally have a solid filling, though, do they? I mean, no, if they do, that's a bad cream egg.
Yeah, it's cream filling.
The clue's in the name, isn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, so who knows about cream eggs? I think America has them, but Canada is a different kettle of fish. So that's not the point of the game. The point of the game
is
kettle
of fish.
Probably. They've got a lot of fish. They've got a lot of coast. But yeah, sex
happens. Got a lot of trees as well, but like they don't put them in their kettles.
Stop going off topic. We're talking about... boning.
Delicious pine tea.
So you have to not arouse suspicion, but there's another thing you can arouse. Penises. I lie, actually, there's not that much penis in it. Because all the people that you're trying to seduce are women because they think you're a guy. Uh-huh. But it turns out once you reveal that you're not, because you're naked, because of the aforementioned sex, they're kind of okay with it. It's got a really interesting topic of consent going on in it. So there's one repeated scene where every evening you can choose to go hang out with a BDSM lady or hang out with basically someone who's not had sex before. And you're kind of like...
Those are quite wild ends of the same spectrum, aren't they?
Yeah.
Different ends, yeah.
But both include
I looked
boning.
Up what the former thing was. I mean, I looked up a lot of stuff reading through
I
your
bet.
Article.
Yeah. It's very hard to find not safe for work pictures, let me tell you, because I tried very hard.
Some of the stuff I told my wife.
Yeah.
What was it? Bagpiping was something in that article?
Oh, it's, yeah, sorry. Wow. That wasn't, that's not even in the game.
No, I fear I'm going to be Googling it fairly soon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all about, you know, how you play a bagpipe under your arm. So that.
And sticking something in there.
Yeah.
Hang on.
That would be bagpiping.
Under your arm.
You squeeze the bag. Right. With your. Underarm.
It's a different type of bag.
But you put your dick in it.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. No, now I'm confused. I will have to just Google it, I'm afraid. Yeah. I'm seeing a Scotsman having sex with a big vagina bagpipe.
A big Scottish vagina in a roguelike bagpipe lover situation.
And that's Lady Killer in a bind. it's great. It's a good game. Well, I mean, I wrote quite a lot about it, and it does have a bit of a strange ending because the consent thing sort of goes a bit awry towards the end. And I've talked a lot about it, and my opinion is still sort of being formed because it's a complex issue. But basically, this one guy is like, oh, you want me to do something for you? Well, you have to pay me in sex. And you're like, I don't want to. And he's like, sucks to be you then. And you're just like, oh, okay.
And if you don't, can the game progress? Is that like a fail state? Sorry, you can't bonk, so it's game over.
So the developer, Christine Love, has put a lot in the game to make it not horrible, because it is like a bit of a horrible scene, but you can skip the scene. It gives you content warnings. It's like, this might not be pleasant.
This is basically like every Call of Duty game.
Yeah. But it's just for this one scene. Like, it doesn't do it for any of the other sexual scenes. It's just this one scene. It's like, look, this is going to be unpleasant. Do you want to skip it? And you can say no, and then it'll be like, yeah, sure. And you can be like, actually, yeah. And I think you can win him over without bonking. I didn't do that. I'm not very good at diplomacy, as it turns out. So I got to the end and I was like, oh, I didn't feel good about that scene. But as a player, you can skip it. As a reviewer, you really can't.
Yeah.
So I kind of, my opinion is a bit odd on that one.
So you win there. But yeah. I mean, that was a good game to start the column with, because the column's kind of about how video games, not just deal with bonking, but also the more intimate side, you know, the more relationship side of things, isn't it? So. I mean, does that come about? I mean, I should know, really. I commissioned it. But, you know, that comes about obviously because there's a long history of really bad sex in video games.
Yeah, it's something I've written about a lot is, sex in video games. BioWare are good at it, but they're not great because no one is really. Lady Killer in a Bind doesn't actually feature like you know, moving. Right, so that's why it can be good, because it's all about like the visual novel aspects. Mm-hmm. It can, you know, paint a picture with its words and with its pictures. Whereas in a BioWare game, you have to watch two polygons rubbing up against each other and be like, oh no.
Mercifully, with no kind of quick time event.
Oh, well, maybe the next one. Maybe Mass Effect.
That's a discussion that we're going to get to in a minute. Because I did want to like throw out the question of like, you know, the worst kind of video game sexy moments you've had to sit through as a player. I mean, the one that springs straight to mind for me was Fahrenheit/Indigo Prophecy in other parts of the world, where mm-hmm. your character, who is kind of a on the run criminal with magical powers, has it off in a freezing cold subway, or it's like minus 20 degrees or something, totally starkers with a policewoman. And it's the stiffest, nastiest thing. It's a David Cage game. So, you know.
I should recall that game, you have sex at one point because you excite the lady in question by playing like a really bad arpeggio on an electric guitar. Ooh. And that really gets her excited and just...
That's the entire foreplay.
That's pretty much it.
Check out these notes.
Wasn't there Killer Is Dead? Was it one of the Suda 51 games, later ones, where you kind of get women attracted to you by like basically ogling them?
Japanese.
Did I dream that? Very Japanese.
How do women work? What gets them going?
How do women work?
Well, that's looking at them?
Try whistling. Try whistling from a building site.
Yes.
What were some of the... Because this is something you wrote about in The Guardian last year, wasn't it? Like, what were some of your picks? Was it like...
But good or bad?
Are there any good ones?
I mean, the reason I like BioWare is because the lead up to the sex is pretty good. Like, the storytelling is good. The dialogue is good. The sense of romance and kind of sexual tension is good. Then it gets to the actual sex animation and you're like, because the question is, do you add boob physics? What if they go wrong? So the Dragon Age Inquisition physics people just went, let's just have them like someone stapled melons to their chest.
That's kind of witchery.
Yeah.
Like, the Witcher has very stiff tits.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Do you think like games haven't really earned the right to do grown-up stuff? Most of the storylines, certainly with AAA titles, they haven't really earned the right to do sex because they don't do anything else particularly well. They don't do character development very well. Mm. All of their reasons for doing stuff is tacked on. The only time that you see female characters being used as love interests is when they've been kidnapped, stolen, murdered, and it's always just this reaction to something happening. So I think in many ways, I don't think media as a whole do it very well. I don't think film does it particularly well. I don't think they do sex scenes very well. And it's even harder when you've got these kind of like uncanny valley... CGI
horrible vacant
CGI
eyes,
polygonal nonsense monsters just bumping uglies. It doesn't
I can't say I've ever looked at. I mean, I enjoyed the relationships that like the relationship that Geralt has in The Witcher 3 with Yennefer. I really enjoyed that. I liked the story side of it. So when they, we know the famous unicorn scene, addressing the unicorn in the room.
She makes her bra disappear, and then he sort of pulls off her pants with his teeth.
Yeah.
Now. I don't care how muscular you are. It's hard. It must be hard to pull off a woman's undergarment with your teeth.
Especially
sitting on a unicorn. Even harder,
right,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah. So adult.
Yeah. I'm not
impossible.
Having it.
Unless they were kind of edible in some way.
Could she not have just made them disappear as well?
She likes to make them work, though. That's the thing. Yeah. She does like to drag them around. But I mean, that's probably, it was still a bit weird, you know, and if you happen to send Geralt out to whatnot with other people, it's always the same animations. Yeah. A little slap of the ass and a little flippity flop over.
I think it should be played for laughs though, because again, they can't do anything else. Like the dialogue's not there for me. The facial animation and stuff like that. You watch any sort of script where in film where there's something romantic going on. They say about three words per scene. Like, it's all about the eyes. It's all about the proximity. And that's what's great about sex. You know, it's about the proximity. It's about the attention.
Oh,
it's about
that's what I'm missing. You've got to stand next to each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Throwing fluids at each other from the other side of the room.
Try it, all right?
but they just, they get it wrong because the technology's not there and the writing certainly isn't there. Mm. So, yeah. It's always going to look ridiculous. So just play it for laughs. Fade to black. Let's get on with the rest of it.
Well, I mean, some of them do that, don't they? I mean, like, everyone talks about, like, you know, bonking in Mass Effect. But a lot of that's kind of like before and after, really.
Yeah. Well, people talk about that being kind of like a big deal that they have same-sex relationships and stuff like that. Mm. But I mean, it's very much like, it has to be the most generic kind of decisions anyway, because, you know, you make your own character at the start of the game. Your character looks different every single time. At least Geralt and the female characters are characters that have been crafted. You know what I mean? And there's some responsibility.
They're quite
I just think it's a bit of a cop-out sort of going, oh, well, you know, the captain of this ship had sex with another man and that's positive. Well, no, because the player made that happen. The game didn't. The game allowed it to happen, and if it didn't allow that to happen, that would be, you know, that would be off, and that would be wrong.
Need a question about that?
Sorry,
no, it's good. It's good.
Bonking aside,
never,
because there's lots of basically sex scenes in games generally bad. Far Cry 3, sex, you're dead. Mm-hmm. That's horrible. It's not a great game anyway.
As I recall, she has sex with him and then goes, I'm talking a lot in this podcast, sorry, I'm getting really annoyed about these games. She has sex and then kills him, doesn't she?
Yeah. She's like, she goes, you have made me pregnant with the next great warrior, then gets out a knife, stabs him.
Yeah. I mean,
she's like rubbing his blood all over it. Yeah.
Like, that's an FU when he was trying to have a kid. Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, yep, that's the one. Yeah, yep. There's no money shot.
Done.
Don't need you anymore. Yeah, you're not going to be paying child maintenance from that, you know, condo in Florida or whatever you've got when you crashed into this island. I mean, yeah, like some crew. I mean, I was thinking about like I was written down notes here. Like there was old crude shit that was just terrible. I remembered BMX XXX, if anyone remembers that, which was part of. Do you remember the Dave Mirror BMX games?
It was the Tony Hawk.
It was like style, a spin-off of that. That's
yeah,
right.
It was the same engine, wasn't it?
Okay,
yeah, I think it was Activision or Acclaim possibly, who made it. And when Dave Mirra saw this, he was like, take my name off it. And I'm pretty sure, mate, he might have even gone to court to make them they couldn't market it with his name on it. But BMX XXX was just like, they were worried about the game not selling that well. So they just turned all the riders into topless models.
Yeah, what? I think it was Bloodhound Gang were in the charts. That, it was a weird time.
Yeah.
WWE was very sexy, I remember rightly, so.
It's not sexy now. It's men in very small pants with terrible hair. What's not to love?
I met a WWE man.
Which one?
Called Barrett. He's not in it anymore, actually. He's left. King Barrett something? He's from Ipswich. Sports Ipswich town. Anyway. But okay. I remember standing next to him. He's really big. And I was there with the 2K PR.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both like, look at his nipples. And his nipples were like really erect, but pointing straight down like no nipples I've ever seen before.
Shameful.
In my life. And if that's not indicative of, I've got to be careful what you say, haven't you? But like, you know, he's either got very unusual pectoral development or something's gone on there.
I have got very pointy nipples.
Do they point down?
The shirt, but they don't point down. But they're definitely out all the time. Mm. So it's upsetting.
I feel like this is lost on anyone listening, but I am making a face right now. So we're talking about nipples.
I regularly do. But the greatest love stories in video games. So away from the physical side of it.
Away from nipples.
Because Valentine's and this time of year is more about the emotions, the connecting on a more astral plane. Astral plane? Why not? I mean, sure, sounds right. And we've already mentioned Geralt and Yennefer. Really liked that story. But there was one I really wanted to bring up, an old series that I'm very fond of. And because, Pete, I know you've got a relevant tattoo, and that's Monkey Island.
Monkey Island.
And Guybrush and Elaine in that. I mean, you've got a LeChuck tattoo, haven't you?
I do have a LeChuck tattoo.
I don't know if my trousers
will allow it, and it's not really a podcasty thing, but
There he is.
Also, you haven't said where it is, so we could just be like, oh my God, not
it's
here.
So simple again.
Just revealed himself.
Goodness me.
It's a good shin tattoo.
Yeah. It got me on Charlie Brooker's Hundreds video games or whatever that came out a little while ago. So
nice.
I like to pretend that they wanted me to talk about, you know, my knowledge of gaming, but it was just genuinely wanted to show me tattoos.
Get your legs
really.
Out.
Just that. And the internet tells me you've got a Grim Fandango one as well. But
I do, yeah. Not so good. That was done in a Berlin restaurant.
What?
So obviously not great. Between courses?
I don't know. It's like a weird kind of restaurant / cafe /
I woke up with a mani tattoo. Why not? Why not? But yeah, I mean, in terms of kind of slow burning over a number of games relationships, I just really like the way that, you know, Guybrush, this lame loser, like gradually attracts the attentions of basically the most powerful character in that whole game series.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trope that gets used quite a lot. I mean, if you watch any sort of teen comedy, like the most beautiful, intelligent woman will end up with the doughy idiot who just gives nothing though. To the relationship. Yeah. And that's pretty much how Monkey Island operated. So Elaine Marley's the mayor of several different locations.
Including Booty Island.
Booty Island, yes, she was,
no
yeah.
pun there.
Yeah. Well, pirates, isn't it? It's all about plundering and booty.
Yeah, but it's the Beastie Boys song as well, wouldn't it? You know?
But... yeah, I mean, I think that's important. I think quite away from the sex, I think you've got to separate sex and titillation from actual genuine romance. Mm. And, you know, the amount of games are finished just because there's a nuance, a quantum of possible relationships going on between a couple of characters. I'm like, I want them to get together. Right. I love these guys.
Well, that's good. Well, why don't we talk about some of those? I mean, you know, we had Uncharted 4 last year that really drove home the point that Elena and, you know, Nate, that guy, the main guy, were kind of like a proper item and they lived together and they were, you know, married and they played shit games together on their old archaic PlayStation because, of course, they kept that. Why not? HDTV.
Portable.
You know, what other ones jump out to you? I've written some notes, if they're any use. I wrote down Master Chief and Cortana. Like that was a precedent for the Spike Jonze movie Her.
But he's so... boring.
Who is
Master Chief? He's just so boring. And
you've
Cortana's
never seen the human
smart.
Side of him.
No,
out of his armor,
doesn't have one.
That is the annoying thing, though. When the male characters are always written so boring. Oh well, she must be in love with him.
He's
Why?
Mysterious. He's enigmatic.
He doesn't say anything.
He has a very
who even knows what his face looks like? I bet it's hot.
I don't know.
Does he have a face?
Oh, and he's genetically engineered, so
to be hot,
anything's
doubt
possible.
It. I mean, it's like when you breed tomatoes. You can either breed them for taste or you can breed them
for
like...
relationships.
Who breeds them
for I was going to say shelf life, but relationships too.
But you know, that's a long-lasting relationship. Do you keep your tomatoes in the fridge in like a drawer? Do you keep them out in a salad bowl? I don't know.
Well, if Master Chief is a killing machine, he can't get an eye infection or a mouth infection. So he must have the most simplistic eye system. Yeah. He must have no nose, I reckon, because that's a point of infection.
Yeah.
So I think his face is just smooth.
So orifices are just a no with him.
Yeah. Just if you're spending like hours and years and days on the battlefield, you don't want an eye infection.
Who needs noses? Just what are they for?
Exactly.
He does those massive jumps as well, doesn't he? And you land one of them slightly wrong, you're gonna jar a bit. Mm.
You? So you think he's smooth down there?
Could be just like
all
a Ken
over.
Doll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt he'd have body hair even. He'd just be smooth.
I like
everywhere.
The way they were thinking about this.
Yeah. He wouldn't need nipples because
strange...
what do men need nipples for? Yeah. Smooth in the nipple area?
Mostly for just chafing, I think.
Yeah.
Put them elsewhere. Yeah. Put like a load of nipples on his hands or something for greater surface area.
Several dozen over his back.
Master Chief has nipples for hands. I'm putting it out there right now. He's
that's canonical now.
Yeah.
At the end of his fingertips. The end of every fingertip. There's no nail, just a nipple.
Someone's going to be writing fanfic about this. All the nipples that Master Chief has.
When I was looking for stuff, I did find some fanfic that involved Nathan Drake and Lara Croft. So people are trying to...
I found some fanfic earlier, right? Have you played Monument Valley?
Monument Valley?
Yeah.
That's the little one with the Ida and the crows, yeah.
Yeah, so what
don't
if...
Don't tell me there's fanfic about that.
Isn't that just a game about farming and stuff?
No, it's like a
that's Stardew
it's like a
Valley.
MC Escher, like puzzle game.
Yeah, okay, it's the isometric
puzzle-y. My God, Monument Valley's like the most kind of safe kind of...
So there's a totem character in it, the big yellow pillar that you move around. Yeah. What if he was a boy and they were having sex? What if that was real? That's a thing I found.
Your eyes went so wide there, Kate. Like, you couldn't quite believe what you were suggesting.
It was a picture, and it was actually quite cute.
There was a picture of it.
I mean, not of the, like, sex, but of them, like, of being human and the same age.
Deeply impractical, physical love between
implied.
A massive pile of bricks and a tiny faceless princess.
That's Oscar bait, that is.
That, sure, why not? Here's something.
Yes.
You know, we talk about, you know, Mario and Peach sometimes, you know.
Do we?
That's that's like, you know, rescue the princess kind of thing. when Sonic's girlfriend was introduced, anyone remember when that came in Sonic CD? Amy Rose. Pink, of course she was.
Pink
go and rescue her. But this is what I learned quite recently. Sonic, when he was first designed, was going to have a girlfriend, a human girlfriend.
No.
Called Madonna.
That's a very 80s decision,
isn't it?
Really? Yeah.
For the early 90s when Sega were doing this planning.
Yeah.
Right,
I can't quite understand why they would go with Madonna for either meanings of the name Madonna.
Funnily enough, yeah. When Sega of America mm-hmm. found this out, they told Sega of Japan that they really couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And Sonic also had a band. He was the singer in a band.
No. So
the bad ideas were always there.
Yeah.
So don't blame the later titles.
Yeah, well, there you
go. They were always there.
I love that they were like pitching all these mad ideas. Mm. And Sega of America, like, can we just look? Blue Hedgehog is enough. That's crazy enough.
Who
Everything
started
else.
As a bunny rabbit? Sonic began as a bunny rabbit. This is all. Total disclaimer. I've been editing a Sonic history book. This is why I know this stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Subtle plugs.
Plug.
Sonic.
I'm not going to tell you where you can get it, even. So okay. No plug at all. Weird. Like you were saying, even the people who made it were saying it was a bit too Japanese. It's funny you were saying, we're talking about Yakuza sometimes. It almost feels bad to say, like, oh, it's a bit Japanese, but we kind of, people know what we mean, right? Like, there's just different...
It's just kind of like...
Boundaries.
They kind of have a strange approach to sex and stuff like that and how they treat women in particular, I think, and minorities. But I think Sonic in particular, it seems to attract perverts the world over. If you've ever been online, the fan art and the slasher fiction for Sonic is just unparalleled. I don't know what it is about Sonic that's attracted so much grot and so much filth.
Oh yeah, we've read out on my podcast some Sonic fanfic in the past. It's like, oh, it's Sonic and someone else, I can't remember, it's another game character,
probably Sonic and Garrus.
It's a high school fanfic, so ooh. Sonic's having trouble with his homework or something, yeah. And maybe sex happens.
Here
I can't
comes
remember
Link to help him out,
probably
two yeah. little boys
why
two
not?
Little toys, and where did they put them?
Is that, are you making a Rolf Harris reference?
Oh, don't, shit,
don't
was
do
I?
That.
That's not good.
No.
That has bad connotations.
Ugh.
Oh, Link and his...
Let's get back to hedgehogs having sex.
Master Sword. Well, we're on the topic of fanfic-ish, yeah. You know, which is a type of parody. I did want to bring up the fact that this week, mm-hmm. yesterday, I received an email, as many of us did in the games industry, about Brazzers' latest porn parody called... Metal Rear Solid. I wanted to know how we felt about the fact that pornography is because they did, I can't believe I'm going to say this in a podcast, but I'm going to say it anyway, content warning, over snatch beforehand.
What was the Pokemon one called?
Oh God, I don't know.
Yeah.
There was a Pokemon, of course there was a
it's
Pokemon one.
Awful. Not that I've seen all of it. it's terrible. It's okay, so it's Ash and Misty, the two children, and Pikachu, but it's a human, so it's like a human-sized Pikachu, and
right.
they all have sex with each other.
Yeah, it's
horrific.
This does sound terrifying. But what I wanted to ask, like, you know, obviously, you know, what's the biggest thing on the internet, basically, apart from scary Sonic fanfic, is probably pornography.
Mm-hmm.
So that pornography, or like a big companies that do it, are like looking at Metal Gear, looking at Overwatch, and going, we want to adapt that. Is that a good thing? Like, is that saying that, like, hey, you know, video games, they're like not this like niche thing. Like they're totally, you know, we can do Jurassic Park parodies. We can do Overwatch parodies. It's the same
What's
level.
The Jurassic Park porn called?
I have no idea. I just picked a film.
Jurassic Dick.
Jurassic Pork, presumably.
Jurassic Pork.
Yeah, that's a bit clean.
Yeah.
They do have sex in herds.
Life finds a way.
Don't make it about
the ending of Far Cry 3.
Oh, God. anything to say on Metal Rear Solid?
I mean, do you know any more about it?
What's the plot? Well, I...
Wasn't
do you
that
know
game
what?
Grotty enough?
Well, you know, obviously it features...
Snake?
Your man Snake.
I was going to say, which game is it based on? Because that's very important.
Oh, the fifth one. It does
the
have...
The fifth one. So
it
it's quiet, probably.
It does have the... The subtitle, The Phantom Peen.
Oh.
Now, which presumably means penis.
Yeah, but does that mean he's had it chopped off?
Ghost dick. He's got a ghostly dick. Really
okay.
Sneaky.
Has he got like
dick.
A red robot replacement for it?
I would love that.
Yeah?
Like just...
Hmm.
Can he do that thing? Like the Fulton, was it?
Yeah, I was
like,
going to say, does that happen?
And like an airdrop of
just shoot sex toys into the sky and take them back to Mother Base.
Oh, gross.
Mother Base, yeah. Is that right?
I don't know. We haven't played it.
I'm now thinking about Mother Brain and Metroid porn parodies, which is just, I'm not going there.
We've already thought about this more than they have.
Oh, yeah.
They'll just be like,
what if Mal Gear butt with penises? Done.
There you go.
Green lit. Off
here's
you go. Go make it.
Detachable remote control penises.
Yeah. Here's £5 for the costumes.
but like, well, it might have been
phone shop.
It might have been Kotaku or someone just today who was tweeting along the lines of like, do you know what? Special effects in this porn parody are actually quite good. So maybe I'll have to watch it just to appreciate the special effects.
Special effects in a porn parody. Does porn often have special effects?
I have no idea. I haven't
someone in the office explored. Paid for that After Effects license.
I mean, we're in Vice. If any company in the world...
You could just walk into the Vice office and be like, guys, does porn have special effects? And they'll be like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can do. I mean, you know, we're attached to the internet here. I could look it up. I'm not going to. Do you want to know what's actually out on Valentine's Day this year?
Oh, wait.
Video games wise.
Wait, I know this one, but I forgot.
I know this one. Yeah. It's really, this isn't like pointless or anything. You don't have to like get an answer.
No, I want
to
get it right anyway.
Yeah. No, there's some games out. One's called Deformers, which just sounds like a direct-to-DVD piss take of Transformers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like Asylum style. But apparently it's made by Ready at Dawn, who made The Order 1886, if either of you ever played that, which did have very realistically flappy penises in it.
The Order 1886 has dicks?
The Order 1886 had some fantastic... They were slightly dark, because it was like, you know...
1880 dicks.
It wasn't much electric light around.
Dicks
at the
were darker back then.
Yeah, dicks weren't quite so brightly lit. But but yeah, had some wonderful dongs. But they're now making Deformers.
I mean, the characters are disgusting looking. They're like big little squidgy balls.
Yes.
And so they've gone from creating this... You know, this kind of, not futuristic, but this very involving kind of set of characters for The Order. And they've went, shall we just make eyeballs for the next game? So they're all these squidgy eyeballs.
Looks a lot like all those little, I'm not going to name a brand, but if you're ever with small children or have small children, they really like these little horrible, like collectible little squishy toys that stick on stuff or like little gooey and mucky. It just looks like the game version of that. Shit you find next to the Tesco checkout.
It's black and worked, I mean...
You know, good luck to them. The Order 1886 wasn't that bad, so I hope that they do come back to stuff like that. There's For Honor, which is Ubisoft's Vikings versus Samurai versus something else, can't remember. Knights,
pirates,
ninjas, spacemen.
One of them, probably.
Cowboys.
Yeah.
Arsenal fans, I've no idea. but I'm not... But it feels quite, you know, relevant to today's, you know, people being punched in the face news. But Sniper Elite 4 is out, which enables you to shoot Nazi bollocks off from 200 meters.
Punch Nazis in the face so hard their skulls explode.
Well, I mean, you don't really
realistic.
But yes, Sniper Elite 4 has the X-ray explosions of skulls and balls and lungs and
everything
stuff.
Everything in between.
Have either of you played a sniper game before?
No.
I played the fourth one at, what's that thing in, EGX? EGX.
Oh, right.
In Birmingham this year. It was good. I think I played the last one, and what I didn't like about it is a little bit like Hitman. When you've messed up the level, you've really messed up the level. You've got to restart. But with this one, I think you can rescue your mistakes a little bit, which is a message for life, I think.
I mean, I can't talk about it too much because it's still under embargo, but you can.
I can. I'm not under embargo.
Like when you do mess it up and you get... Well, it doesn't matter. This kind of stuff was in the preview stuff anyway. But yeah, if you do mess up and they locate you, you can kind of rush away and hide. And in the end, the AI kind of... The AI is pretty good, but in the end, it kind of just gives up. And it's
coming for you on Valentine's Day, which I think is lovely.
It's a beautiful, lovely touch. Beautiful thing. Sorry, love. Puncturing lungs this evening.
I do love that, like, game developers and film studios alike seem to still think it's incredibly hilariously ironic to release something non-romantic on Valentine's Day. Yeah. It's like, just release it the day
I think there's
after.
A new Gears of War 4 thing coming out as well, like a new weapon or something. Happy Valentine's Day, Gears of War 4
players. But
then you
just get all the Valentine's-themed, hilarious, in inverted commas, PR emails where they're like, ha-ha, love. What, it's terrible. Have a gun. And you're like, I know.
But it's a gun shaped like a dick.
Yeah.
It's like Shadows of the Damned. He's got a big dick gun in that, hasn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think
what
so.
Kind of games do you play?
That's just recently backwards compatible on the old
Dick guns usually are.
That's a dick guns are regularly backwards compatible. Beyond February, though, is there any games in particular? Just before we get into a couple of questions and then we
wrap up this podcast, is there any games in the next few months that you're really looking forward to? Like, we've got the Switch coming up. I don't know, Pete, are you into Nintendo stuff?
I must admit, I don't think I've ever owned a Nintendo system, which is grotesque, I know, but no, I haven't thought even about buying it. It does look pretty swish, though. I like that milking mini game that they've got.
Oh, damn.
And Snipperclips.
Yes.
Snipperclips looks really great. But it does. You know, the story of that, of course, is that it was an indie game a few years ago in development, and it kind of got absorbed by Nintendo, and everyone was at the Switch event was like, this is amazing. And then one journalist was like, I've seen this game before. yeah. And did some digging, and sure enough, it's like Nintendo have seen that game and go, oh, it's ours now. But like the original people are still making it, but it's kind of cool that like
they rarely do that, do they?
Yeah, like they rarely admit it.
If they'd done it more, I would have maybe liked that Switch event more, because as it was like all the 1-2 Switch games, which are fine. They're fine.
For
they're
30 seconds at a time.
They're the Wii Sports equivalent of like whatever the Switch has got. There was Zelda, which you had to queue for 2 hours to play.
Not me. I got to the front of the queue straight away.
Well, I'd played the demo 6 months ago, so I didn't need to.
It's not a competition.
Oh, no, I just mean like they should have had a new demo. Like, I'm kind of sad they didn't.
Yeah, they were probably finishing the game, to be fair.
Whatever, lame.
To try and meet this, like, you know, launch of a new system thing.
They had like a bunch of ports of like Street Fighter 2 and Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, that's a good. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is really good though.
Yeah, okay, Mario Kart 8 is good.
Like, people just get their crap together for launches. Like, I just don't know why slippage and all that stuff can is acceptable.
But if Nintendo went to like, if they got just a bunch of indie games that would work on the Switch, and it's not that hard, there are some really amazing ones.
Well, there's stuff coming in there. Like Binding of Isaac's really soon, I think.
They could have chucked a tiny bit of money compared to, you know, Nintendo's budget into a couple of indie funds. And they would have got like 5 to 10 games at that event that would have been like really cool. I don't know why they didn't do
that. And that would be available on or very close to launch, presumably, yeah.
And since then, a bunch of indie games have said like, oh, we're coming to the Switch, and that's been the plan the whole time. And you're like, well, why didn't they?
Well, like,
they...
there's been stuff like I Am Setsuna announced for it, hasn't it? I Am Satsuma for launch as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, a few people have tried. I see Snake Pass is coming to it, the Suma Digital game.
That's so good. I've been looking at Tumbleseed. Recently, which is
made by who?
Greg Wolwend and a bunch of other people as well. But he's the one I'm excited about because he
made Threes.
He made Threes with a bunch of other people as well.
Tumbleseed. What?
So it's a game that I don't think it's just coming to Switch. But it works really well on Switch. By the sounds of it, I haven't had my hands on it yet, but I will this weekend. Yes. So it's about like tilting. So I imagine it works well on iOS as well. Mm. So you've got a platform across the middle and you've got a little seed and it rolls along the platform. And so you have to tilt it because there are all these obstacles in the background. So there are holes that you can fall into. There are monsters that'll hit you. There are things you can collect to power yourself up. It's quite a simple sort of like, it's platform-ish, but it's not like a platformer, if that makes sense. It's got the same mechanics as a platformer. Avoid the things and keep moving, I guess. Mm. But it's also using the HD rumble in the Switch. I hope they've got that right.
Which we want to see more of, basically. Yeah. I asked, we just mentioned Snake Pass there, coming to Switch. I asked them if they were using like rumble or anything unique to the Switch. And they said no, because to get it ready for that, for that platform, we need to like not use the unique features. And I think that's going to be a thing with this console. Like if you're not using, a bit like the Wii U was, you know, if you're not using that second screen possibility, then you're not really developing right for it, are you?
Yeah. Mm. Well, I hope Ukulele uses it then, because that's...
Mm. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
What is the HD rumble?
The HD rumble works in such a way where, you know, you've got the Joy-Cons, the little controllers. They've got a very clever rumble system in there, basically, that kind of, if you were to do that with it, like I'm tilting my hand for the benefit of the listeners, you know, it would feel like stuff was rolling.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can kind of like, you know, if it's a box with some balls in it and you can do that and it feels like the things are rolling around.
It has a bit
around.
Of, well, not inertia, but like kind of like weight as it moves forward and backwards.
Yeah, it's something I don't quite understand. Like I did, like at the Nintendo, like the Switch event, there was like a, did you do the safe cracking one?
I didn't, I missed
out on
that.
There's one where you know, you hold your Joy-Con and you turn it and like you hear click, you know, you feel click, click, click. But one of those clicks is just slightly different.
Mm.
And that means you have to go the other way. And it's just about finding that sweet spot. And it's quite sensitive.
Mm. I worry about moving parts in gaming machines.
I don't know how it works. I just assume it's magic.
I don't know if it's broken or not.
It starts to rattle, I guess.
It's
probably
a bit
a bad
like,
thing.
It's like doing the lock picking game in a Bethesda game, you know, where you can feel it like start to react if you've got it wrong. But like way more complicated and I don't understand it at all. And it's very cool. It's magic.
I hope people, actually use the what's available to them.
Me too.
I'm quite looking forward to Horizon Zero Dawn, which is nearly upon us.
Yeah.
Mainly because I had played a bit at E3 and it was really good.
Yeah.
I know people are a bit like you. I've seen people tweet like, not really into it. Oh, you've got to do crafting. Oh, it's just an open world action adventure.
I like all the stuff. I just I haven't had an eye on it at all.
Yeah. It does a lot of things we've seen before.
Yeah.
But
might be good.
Looks beautiful and has Zoids in it, basically.
This is the one that kind of is the one that that kind of sells the 4K, isn't it? That's the thing that Sony used to sell the 4K.
At that launch event, I was at the one in New York, and they were it was like, look at how orange Horizon Zero Dawn looks now.
Okay.
And it looked really orange.
Oh, that's orange.
The oranges were off the chart.
Yeah.
We've mentioned Mass Effect. Are you up for Andromeda?
Yeah.
Playing more Mass Effect?
Massively.
I'm worried about the marketing so far. Because the reason most people play BioWare games is the dialogue, the writing, the diplomacy, the relationships between characters. And so far, all the adverts have been like, what if you shot someone? And you're like, I mean, yeah, but no one plays it for that.
Space guns are so boring. There's no kind of visceral connection to it. It's damaging anything. It's just pew, pew. And it's just like, if you were into guns, you wouldn't buy that game.
Yeah, you don't buy. If you're a shooter fan, you don't play Mass Effect.
Like the only reason there are the combat sections in BioWare games is so that you can get back to the ship and have sex with everyone.
Save the world, save the planet, save the universe, and then come back. Does anyone have sex with me? No, I'll go out and do another mission then.
Or one of my favorite things, collect little ships to put in your bedroom and your big ship.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a big
part. Why don't the adverts have that?
I know. Ship collecting is a really, really big part of that. I'm also very, very into the new Nier game, actually, which is either Automata or Automata.
Someone
from Automata. Automata, which someone from Square will no doubt tweet me and correct me on, which is being made by Platinum Games and plays like a Bayonetta RPG, and I just love it.
With more kicking, which I didn't think was possible.
Of kicking. Even
Bayonetta's
more kicking
got loads
than Bayonetta.
Of kicking.
Yeah.
It's like kicking the game.
And big swords and big massive robots.
Yeah, and stupid animations that I kind of love. That you can just do dumb things with a sword, like you can throw it.
Yeah.
Spins around. I don't know.
There's some damn cool stuff in it.
Yes.
Really looking for that. I hope it does well because it's kind of, it's one of those like threatens to be just a cult game, but if enough people are really into it at launch, it could be one of those little word of mouth things that does quite well.
Someone told me the entire plot of the first Nier game, and I was just like, what? I can't even remember it. I just know that it's really stupid about going back in time.
Yeah, anyone who played the first Nier properly, I think you have to finish it 3 or 4 times before you get to the real ending.
Yeah.
And then to commit to the real ending wipes your entire game.
Yes.
So you can never go back.
Genius.
That's a thing that happened then. Hopefully it won't do that. Just very quickly, before we do wrap, received some questions. Of course, they're sexily related.
Wonderful.
Just a couple.
I don't trust the internet for this.
I try not to trust the internet. But Alexander Warriner asks, he says, I was curious about how you guys feel about intimacy in games. This is relevant to your column. Are there any games you can think of that allow for a romance to develop naturally without this system of, if I give you enough things, you'll just marry me or, bonk
me?
The
problem with this is that games have to gamify everything. Mm. You can't have something that develops naturally because the inherent nature of the way games work is that they've got hidden statistics going on and you have to do something to manipulate those statistics.
Everything's a secret numbers game, isn't
it? Exactly. So in Fire Emblem, you get people to marry you by standing next to them a lot in battle.
To be fair, that is how it works in real
life. I mean, yeah, apparently.
Someone's never been to a nightclub. Yeah.
Or being at school.
So,
I like you.
The more you work with someone, the more they'll have conversations with you, which is kind of realistic, but also in a game term, it's not, because you're just going, oh, I've got to stand next to them because I fancy them. When, realistically, the way we actually get together is text people a lot.
Do we not just
howl at the moon?
We're British. We just drink, right? And then the things happen.
We get drunk.
And then we look at each other and go, did that happen? Does that mean we're a thing now? Fine. I'm okay with this.
So wonderfully awkward. Yeah. In The Sims, you tickle someone until they love you. That's how it works.
I do like that.
You just queue up a bunch of tickles. And then in The Sims 3, they went...
people and Pomeranians, I believe.
Very simple creatures. Yeah. In The Sims 3, you get punished if you do the same action too many times in a row. So they were like, look, we know what you're trying to do. You're trying to game the system.
Yeah.
You know that if you tickle someone five times, then flirt with them five times, you'll be in love.
That is good practice for real-life foreplay, though, isn't it?
Well.
Well, it is, you know. You know, you can move on to the other one now. That kind of thing.
We were talking about Far Cry earlier on, where she was very presumptuous about her chance of conceiving after she kills the only warrior in town. And in Sims, doesn't like when you conceive, there's a baby noise happens at the point of climax, which I think is just if only wonderful. I mean, just horrific and wonderful. Like
that would be so much easier.
You're like, oh, there it is. We're done. Okay.
Yeah.
See you in 9 months. Well, see you in 3 days in The Sims.
3 days, a baby is born.
Wow.
3 days.
Three real life days. I've not played a lot of this.
Three Sims days.
Right, okay.
Which is like an hour of gameplay.
It takes me longer than that to like unwrap the packaging of a Moses basket or something. Like,
I wondered what packaging you were going to talk about then.
Just around baby things. You know? Nothing weird.
Yeah.
Let alone assemble an IKEA cot bed or something. Christ almighty.
I can't think of a game that does it in a natural way. Like even BioWare, which I've mentioned a lot, because it does do it well in terms of writing. But what you're doing there is basically just choosing the heart option every time, because you're like, oh, this will work. Done. Like, it's not hard.
There's a clear path
for
the game that you can't necessarily see, but you can game the game.
Flirt with them enough to trigger their personal quest, succeed at the personal quest, and then you get a bone. Tick. Done.
Big tick.
Nothing sort of moved on since Leisure Suit Larry in the 90s. It's just exactly the same.
I can remember huddling around an Amiga. For Leisure Suit Larry, like, guys, see this. It looks terrible, Chris.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you know, it was one of those things that went around school. George Cruz Alvarez on Twitter asks, you know, are there, well, what he actually says, you know, I feel like many sexy games, brackets, hentai visual novels.
I have not played those.
I've not played any. It says, are written in an incredibly dull way. Mm-hmm. So are there any well-written erotic games? I genuinely haven't played one of those kind of games. I did write in my notes here, you know, maybe Lady Killer is like the more friendly side of that kind of thing. I don't know. It's kind of an erotic graphic novel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely an erotic visual novel. I think it's pretty well written. It feels natural.
Yeah.
The dialogue feels natural. Other than the fact that all the teenagers are very horny and very confident. And they're very clued into like things like topics like consent and BDSM. They just know everything. And 18-year-olds don't
know. No,
it's not.
With their smartphones.
I mean, they spend a lot of time on Tumblr, which means they do know more than I knew at their age, but they don't know as much as these rich cruise teenagers know.
They know
they're
too much.
Too mature.
The reality is blown.
Yeah. Like one of them is just all like, because you flirt with everyone that you come across. That's how the game works. And they're all okay with it. There's not a single character who's like, no, I'm good. Thanks. Bye.
Can you stop bothering me?
Yeah.
I'm well watching.
I'm actually here with her, but you know.
Yeah.
You can
everyone's
buy me a drink
just
if you want.
Like, no matter what you do, everyone's up for a bit of fun.
Right.
All of them, which is a bit like a BioWare game. Like you'll go up to anyone and be like, shag, and they'll be like, yeah, all right. Yeah.
Yes, no, maybe.
Go on.
Are you more Paragon or Renegade?
Exactly.
Let me see your papers.
Yeah. Like in real life, if I went up to a bunch of my friends and was like, who here wants a shag? I think most of them would be like, ha ha ha. Okay.
Good one.
I mean, I've never tried, but I'm pretty sure.
No, well, if we go to the pub in a minute, we can go and put that to the test. It won't be your friends,
no.
just strangers in the boozer. I did have a quick look in relation to this question. I found an article that had called Best Sex Games on PC Games N, actually, a website for PC games. And it mentioned something called Coming Out on Top, which is a interactive graphic novel gay dating simulation.
Yes, I've read about
I'm going to need to know how that first word is spelled.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the Latin way.
Okay, right.
You know, we understand Latin here, right?
That doesn't mean what you think it means in Latin.
Well, the Greek then or something, I don't know.
I mean, it is a Latin word. It means with.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
With.
It's a graphic novel combined with a gay dating sim. So nice. It's with. Do we not use cum properly in the English language? Because you're a classics graduate, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have a discussion. This is maybe a discussion for another podcast.
I did have a discussion about the Latin words for various genitalia the other day.
What's a good Latin what word for
findings?
Penis and vagina are Latin words. Penis is sword, vagina is sheath. There you go.
Nice. That works. Guys, it works.
They're actually pronounced penis and wagoner, though. So.
They're pronounced what?
What's your next penis factor?
And
I was going to say, wasn't he like the bad singer?
God.
Oh, he was a bit of a wagoner. Anyway. The last one is from a chap. I think it might have been a lady. I can't remember. Dario on Twitter, who just says, do you prefer sex in games to be a free-for-all, i.e. determined by player agency, or for options to be limited by the narrative, so part of a character's development?
So this is an interesting thing. When you asked about intimacy in games, I think the best examples of intimacy are the ones where you don't have an option, which either means that intimacy in non-player characters, like, for example, Into the Moon. I don't know if you've played To the Moon. It's an excellent game.
I've had it for years and never played it.
Oh, please play it. It's so good. So you play a couple of, you play scientists, and it tells the story of this relationship of this girl and this boy who grow up together. And that's a really good tale of intimacy, but you have no influence on it whatsoever, which is why it's so good. There's no player agency, so you can't fuck it up. So that's one example of how being hands-off can actually make a good story. Also scripted sex scenes where you don't have like dialogue options. It's just like, this is happening.
Yeah.
Strap in. Those are good as well.
So you can't mess it up by your own stupid choices.
Exactly. Players suck. Don't give them a choice.
I met the producer and director of Resident Evil 7 a few weeks ago, and the producer, I've totally forgotten the names, apologies, actually said to me that, you know, games, because you make so many choices, aren't a great vehicle or aren't the best vehicle for horror. It's better when you don't have a choice and you're just strapped in. It's a bit like, sex and death, isn't it? It's very Shakespearean. Probably. On that note, where can people of the world find you to tickle your brains on Twitter about things you might have discussed, or just follow you for any ramblings you might have?
I'm on Twitter at How Not to Draw. Basically, everything can be found there. If I've got another thing, I'll talk about it there. It's fine. It's
you do your lovely subtweets as well, don't you?
I do my subtweets.
You do a lot of bread. I've been following you for a little while, and you do a lot of bread work.
I do a lot of bread work. Yeah. Not recently, because I've run out of yeast. Oh, no, I've got a sourdough
starter.
That
sounds like a side quest. You sound like a quest giver in an RPG. I've run out of yeast,
young man. Could you go and fetch me some from the yeast farm?
Little waypoint just popped up on your map. Visit mill.
Woman needs yeast.
at How Not to Draw, though.
They follow me for yeast.
For yeasty, for yeasty goodness. Pete, where can people find yourself on the internet?
If they really want to, it's Pete Donaldson, P-E-T-E. D-O-N-A-L-D-S-O-N.
Rather than P-E-A-T.
I don't know why I did that.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know.
You just dig stuff out of the ground.
My accent is so stupid sometimes that I have to repeat myself many times on the phone to call centre workers. So I do find myself repeating myself quite a lot.
When you're telling them that you really didn't have that accident and your Windows PC doesn't need maintenance.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That kind of thing. And you can follow Waypoint, which is the website you might be listening to this through. Possibly, or certainly have downloaded it from at Waypoint on Twitter, or at Facebook at Waypoint Vice, because someone already took Waypoint, and they're bastards. And Waypoint on Twitch, waypoint.vice.com for the actual website itself. Do go there; it's full of good stuff. I'm Mike Diver. I'm at Mike Diver on Twitter, but I'm not very important, and I mostly just tweet about terrible commutes I'm experiencing. Come and listen to us again in March. Thanks very much. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I am Dori Shafrir, the co-host of the podcast Forever 35, which is all about the things we do to take care of ourselves. And starting next week, we have a new co-host.
It's me. I'm Elise Hugh. I am an author, journalist, and a podcaster.
Yay! Elise and I are going to be getting into a lot of the same topics that we've always talked about on Forever 35, like skincare, like getting older, and of course, Forever 35 faves like butt care and Costco.
She said Costco.
I said it.
I'm so excited to be coming along on this journey.
I am so excited to have you. So listen to Forever 35 wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com